The Poacher's Daughter by Margaret Dickinson, read by Willow Nash. For all my family and friends for their love, encouragement and help throughout the years. Chapter 1. Lincolnshire, 1910.
Hello. I hope you're not poaching my father's fish.
Rosie looked up from her crouched position on the bank of the stream near the stepping stones. Standing above her was a handsome young man with black hair and the bluest eyes she could ever remember seeing. He was tall and athletic, with a strong, square chin that might have been cut from granite. She hadn't heard him ride up on his black stallion, whose sleek coat matched its rider's hair. She rose slowly to her feet and stood facing the young man squarely. She knew exactly who he was. Byron, the only son of William Ramsay, who owned the Thornsby estate and most of the dwellings in the village. She had often seen Byron riding around the estate, although she had never been this close to him before. But she was not afraid of him. Rosie Waterhouse was not afraid of anyone. With her wild red curls and her quick wit, she was a match for most folk. And now, as she smiled up at him, her green eyes sparkled with mischief.
I didn't know your dad owned the stream and all.
Byron threw back his head and laughed, the sound carrying on the breeze.
Just the bit that runs through his lands. If you want to fish here, you need to get a license.
Rosie cocked her head on one side and regarded him saucily.
I don't reckon they'd let me have one, do you?
Probably not. How old are you?
14. How old are you?
Byron blinked at her boldness, but answered her anyway.
20.
He dropped the horse's reins, allowing it to graze contentedly. He moved towards her.
But I, of course, am allowed to fish here whenever I want to. So, let's see if we can catch a trout for your tea, shall we? I see you've got some string and a hook, but what we really need is something to use as a rod.
He glanced around and saw a fallen branch from which he broke off a length of about 4 feet.
This should do it,
he said, coming back to stand beside her. For the next hour they sat side by side on the bank, hardly speaking, but concentrating hard on the end of the gnarled branch for any sign of movement. At last, the end of the makeshift rod twitched and Byron hauled it out of the water. Rosie gasped to see a huge fish on the end of the string. Byron dispatched it expertly as it lay twitching on the grass between them.
There, he said, smiling. That should feed you and your family for a couple of days.
There's only me and my dad. Mam died when I was 2, having another baby. A little boy. He died and all.
I'm sorry to hear that. It must be hard for you, not having a mother.
Rosie shrugged.
I don't know how different. Can't really remember her.
Where do you live?
Now Rosie knew to be careful exactly what she said.
On the edge of the village. Me dad works for you sometimes. Your farm bailiff sets him on at busy times, like harvest and tatty picking.
She grinned.
I come and help then.
Oh, yes. Jack Pickering. He's a good man. He sees to the day-to-day running of the estate and keeps an eye on our 2 tenant farmers. And our own farm too, of course, though nothing much escapes my father's eagle eye.
He paused and regarded her.
You'll have been busy recently, then, with the harvest. It's mostly gathered now, though. So, what does your father do in the winter?
Hedging and ditching mostly,
she answered promptly.
Your tenant farmers use him too if they're too busy to do it themselves.
Byron laughed.
Or too idle. It's quite a hard job.
And he's the local rat and mole catcher too. Everyone fetches him in to do that.
Byron paused. He was beginning to realise who she was. Softly, he asked,
So, what's your name? I can't go on calling you little girl, can I?
She ran her tongue around her lips.
Rosie?
Rosie, what?
She hesitated a second, but there was no way she could not answer his question.
Waterhouse.
Byron stared at her.
You must be Sam Waterhouse's daughter.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?